May all beings be happy. May all beings be healthy. May all beings be free from harm. May all beings love life. May all beings awaken. Welcome to another episode of Life in Bali. A cute audio presentation. I pray that you and yours are safe and comfortable and free from economic distress and able to get out and do whatever it is you want within the limitations of do as little harm as possible. Today's guest is Lumpat. And I get his full name when we start. I just have him down, you know, as Lumpat Lumbung Damu. He and John Tanya, who I did a podcast with a while back, you know, are married, and this is their family business. It's a nice place to stay. Anyway, let's just go on and start with him. I'm just sitting here in the public area recording this on my iPhone, so I don't feel like going on and on about other stuff that's happening. It's been raining, but not today. It was raining yesterday some. And and there's nothing open, and his sister's feeding us. It's not like living in Sanur. But it's really nice. Delivers the food. Nice price. Pay about... all right, we've had two meals so far for two of us. It comes to about $6.30 so far. And Tanya said, look, we don't have any guests now. You just can't pay whatever you want. Okay. So let's see what Lumpat has to say. Well, here we are. So, hi, Lumpat.
Hello, Dave.
So, what's your full name?
Full name is... They call me Wayan Metro. Wayan is the firstborn for Balinese.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Balinese have four name for... when they born, so I'm the first one. So my complete name is Iwayan Metro, but people call me Lumpat as a nickname.
What does it mean, or why do you have the nickname Lumpat?
I don't know. I guess my mom.
Does it have any meaning? Or
yeah, it's actually Lumpat just mean long and it's a sash for sarong, you know?
Oh, it's a sash?
Yeah, Lumpat.
Oh.
They call it Lumpat.
Yeah.
It's a sash.
Is that, and that's Balinese?
Mm.
Wow. And you're from Limbongan.
Yeah, originally my great-grandpa is from Limbongan. So
he's
moving to this village.
Oh, you're to Buitan.
To Buitan, yeah.
So, do you go to Limbongan for ceremonies?
Yeah.
So that's your ancestral home.
Mm-hmm.
Where in Limbongan?
In Jungut Batu.
Where is that?
A village called Jungut Batu, close to Limbongan Island.
Well,
it's in they call it, it's Limbongan is the central, right? And the village called Jungut Batu.
But Is it in Limbongan?
In Limbongan, yeah.
Yeah.
Where the tourist central is.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Is it up on the... I mean, Limbongan's a very small island.
Yeah, but I mean, it's...
Where is it?
Where the jetty is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. Now, my impression of Limbongan is it's like a separate tribe, or people there are very... like one big family or something. Is that true?
Well, it's actually, the island is for prisoners long time ago when the kingdom.
Oh, really?
It's a prisoner's island.
Like Australia?
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah. So the naughty boys, the naughty people, descended to there. So.
Oh, wow. Wow.
It's a prisoner's island.
When I first went there, there were no police.
No, nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing like that.
And then, and there was no need for police.
Well, no need. They have like a village. What do you call it?
Pechalang.
Village.
Yeah. Village security.
Yeah.
They do more than security. They're like help.
They're like they have everything.
Attendants for the village.
Yeah,
every village has them.
Yeah,
and even where I live in Sanur, Pechalang are more important than police.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Police just stop people and check if their driver's identity.
Yeah.
And they used to get a lot of bribes.
Yeah,
from the tourists, but I don't see that happening
anymore. No more. Since they caught so many peoples, but they, less and less. There is some, but for sure. But I mean, less and less corruption happening.
Well, it seems to me that the corruption that I've heard about and experienced has been at a higher level, usually. But I don't know. I mean, there's corruption everywhere. Mm. Seems to be pretty smooth. People seem very honest to me, you know?
Yeah.
I only hear bad stories from people doing things with big money.
Yeah.
And then having to pay big bribes at the top, or, you know, having problems.
It's a big game.
Yeah. But we don't have enough money. Except we did have one problem. We had a woman in immigration office keep our 16 million. And didn't. She told us we had quitas, but we didn't.
Oh.
So that that ended up costing us $60 million to get out of the country and back in legally.
Oh no!
Yeah, but that was my fault. I shouldn't have trusted her. Hey, so you are the co-owner, right, of Lumbung Damu?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's a family business.
It's family, you and your wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. This is a great place to say. I don't know what to say in English. What do we call it, I guess? I say Panganapan in Indonesian.
Yeah.
Place, which is like a place to stay.
Place to stay.
It's
a guest house. Well, it's a homestay.
Homestay, yeah.
It's a homestay, but in different way.
So how did this all come about? It's beautiful. It's so funky and neat, you know. My older son was here. I don't know if you met him. He loved it.
Yeah.
And my younger son really would love it. He'd want to live here.
Yeah. Well, it's actually trash dump before. When first time with Tanya, it's a trash dump. People in the village, they just throw their rubbish over here, plastic, everything, you know, because it's like, it's an old bankrupt bungalows. So it's they put so many tracks, so many things. So I met Tanya and then we start cleaning it. It's actually my great grandpa land, so.
Oh.
So, and Tanya said, we have to clean it, you know? And then we, so we do it. We clean, and so we clean it. And my brother said, like, if we just clean it and, what you call it? They will throw more trash.
Oh, yeah,
we have
yeah,
to do
yeah.
something, you know?
Right.
We still have to create something. So we create lumbung.
Yeah. And
kind of house, you know?
A lumbung is?
Lumbung, it's a greenery.
A granary. Yeah, good.
Lumbung is a greenery.
That's good.
And
I've called it a place to store rice.
What is it? It's a greenery, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a rice greenery. And so we make step by step, actually.
So, who designed them?
It's already there. I mean, what you call it?
You moved actual lumbungs here?
It's a knockdown system.
Uh-huh.
It's easy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you build it, and then you knock down it, and then you move it. It's easy. It's easy.
So, wow.
So it's a knockdown system.
So you did move these from elsewhere to here?
Yeah, I used to. Yeah, but before was small, like 4x6, I think. But now we make it like bigger.
Oh, they're very
so more,
big.
So yeah. More space on the top. So yeah, it's a knockdown system.
Oh, I assumed they were just built to look like lumbung. They're actual lumbung.
It is. but we make this modified.
Yeah, well, good job, man.
Yeah.
And all right, so you've got
four.
Yeah. Four, but you've got some other places like
A bamboo hut.
But does anybody ever stay there?
Yeah.
And you've got the house here. My God, it's giant. The big yoga studio up top.
Yeah.
This place is unique with all its artistic elements. They're not like traditional Balinese.
No.
They're mosaic. Tile, stones, a lot of tile work.
Yeah, a lot of tile work.
And gardens, and you got that pond over there you've been doing recently.
Yeah, the pond is, we wanted to make a swimming pool a pond as a swimming pool, like natural swimming pool, but since this COVID, no more fun. That's it, you know, stay like that, just put the plant in it.
So when COVID's over, you think you might, well, it'll be a small pool.
Yeah, so that's what I was thinking also, because like, you know, the fun that we have more priority to, food-wise, electric bills, those kind of stuff. No more budget for that.
Yeah.
Most important, food.
Well, you're a landscape gardener.
Yeah.
So, did you landscape the garden here?
Yeah, together with family.
Yeah.
With Tanya, with family, plant banana.
And that's like a, pine tree there.
Yeah. That's the first trees we plant.
Wow.
Well, I mean, there is a coconut trees high and everything is already, but I mean, since we clean the land, we plant that trees.
Mm-hmm.
Pine tree.
Uh-huh. And so how did you get into landscape gardening?
I just like gardening.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes, you know, depend on the mood.
Oh, really?
Gardening is the mood. Everything is the mood.
Uh-huh.
When you mood doing something in the garden, just enjoying it.
Mm.
If not, chilling.
Mm. Mm.
Chilling.
So, not much business. Nobody building new gardens these days.
No, no, no.
Yeah.
Nothing. COVID.
Yeah. Wow. And
break down the economy.
Yeah. Yeah. All the little restaurants around are closed.
Everything is closed.
Yeah. Well, the little shops
are
open. And your sister is making good food and delivering it.
Yeah. She creating at home, actually. It's like home cooking.
Oh, yeah. That's all we're going to eat while we're here. You know, you just call her up and get...
Yeah.
I've already sent Katrinka her number. Katrinka's going to call her and get some lunch. Mm. She's very nice. This morning you said you went to do prayers.
Yeah.
What's the word you'd use in Indonesian?
As Balinese, we call it maturan.
Maturan.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Not to run every day in the morning or in the afternoon.
What do you do?
Just give an offer, like flowers and incense.
Do you do the Chanang Sari the offering, the palm leaf offering?
The normal.
Yeah.
Daily.
Yeah. So can you tell us about... what, you know, it's not just Hinduism, it's Balinese spirituality, right?
Yeah.
Can you tell me something about that?
Balinese spiritual. Well, it's actually mixed Hinduism and Buddhism and Balinese culture.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's we believe in spirit. Yeah, we believe many spirits.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And spirit of the trees, spirit of the rocks, spirit of everything. Yeah, it's in Hinduism completely different than Hinduism in India.
Yes.
Yeah, completely different. That's why a lot of people in Indian people come here. What they're doing, you know, is completely different.
Oh, yeah.
We are different.
Yeah. Yeah. Indeed.
The culture is completely different. And of course, like, you know, the... just because we are different way how to offerings, like, you know, to give offer the way our, what you call it, present to the God, like, you know, giving an offer, go to the temple, different, of course. I don't know about a lot of things about Hinduism in general, but that's what I know.
Yeah. Mm.
But I know the culture, Bali culture.
Yeah.
Bali culture, we have to balance with three things. We have to balance with human, other people, we have to balance with nature, we have to balance with God.
Mm.
Yeah. So, sometimes to make balance is completely different.
Yeah.
Some people, they are just thinking about God. Some people, they're just thinking about themselves, people. Some people, they forget about the nature. Sometimes, yeah, they have to...
So you're talking about a balance of it all. Yeah. Well, it seems to me that Balinese spirituality in general is more in tune. It's more like nature oriented
yeah.
toward the earth. And in India, it's like cosmic, right? But Balinese Hinduism includes the cosmic.
Yeah. Because of the spiritual of the nature, we give energy. We take energy from the nature and the nature.
Yeah. And the you know, I lived in Japan, and Japanese Buddhism also is Japanese culture is full of it's blended with Shintoism. Which is that there are spirits everywhere. Everything has a spirit. And the kami, they call it. They use the same word for spirit and for Tuhan God, kami. But I think to me that's very healthy, the spirit's level, and then the you know, Buddhism, regular Buddhism, Hinduism level. So what are you doing these days?
Chilling?
You went to a gym yesterday or something?
Yeah. Work out every day. Get sweat.
Yeah.
It's completely different than when you're doing work and sweat and doing work out.
Yeah. How so?
It's all in the mind, yeah?
Yeah.
It's different. Some people, they think like, oh, why don't you go dig a hole and you get sweat too? But it's like, okay, it's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's not the same.
Yeah. So do you have anything to say about what it was like growing up here before you got so involved with Westerners? And
well, when I grew up, it's really cool. When I was childhood, grew up really happy.
And right here?
Yeah.
In Buitan?
Yeah, just in the village.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Happy kids. Happy kids. Swim in the ocean, go to a rice field. You know, when you're kids, like, you don't think other things. Like, now, as adult, doing that, thinking about this, all this, consumer things.
Yeah.
When you're kids, you don't need anything, actually. You just go play outside.
And
enjoy and catch some fish, grill fish. That's it.
You know? Did you swim?
Yeah, I did. I can't swim.
Did all the kids here swim?
Yeah.
What do you think about Bali in general?
Mostly they don't know how to swim.
That's right.
Well,
yeah, that's what
we happy, we glad that we live in close to the ocean.
Yeah.
River and play in the rice field and on the beach.
To me, learning to swim, everybody should learn to swim as part of their education because it's natural.
Yeah.
It's easy. And it can save your life.
Yeah, but sometimes people are scared of swimming. They don't know how to swim because they're scared.
Mm-hmm. Have you done any diving?
Yeah, I tried diving so many times.
I never did diving.
I tried so many times.
Yeah.
But It's not my thing. Surfing is my thing.
Yeah. Surfing?
Yeah.
Oh, like you surf?
Yeah.
Do you surf now?
No more.
Well, you certainly could.
Yeah, for sure. But sometimes we depend on the wave. I'm not like hunting wave everywhere. You know, they need to I need to surf. I need to surf. No.
Did your friends surf? I mean, did you surf as a boy?
Yeah, I surf with family. Like my brothers, two brothers and...
Wow, that's really interesting. I don't think that's true everywhere around Bali, that all the kids surfed.
Well,
do you know how much or a higher percentage here surfing and swimming?
Yeah, mostly like from the coast, yeah?
Yeah.
A lot of kids are getting more and more involved with surfing.
Oh, that's neat. That's neat. So
it's nice, good exercise.
Well, what do you think about the situation with trash?
Trash is a big problem.
It's a problem worldwide, of course, but with here in Bali, Indonesia.
At least, like, you know, you go to the shop now, they don't give you plastic bags. You have to bring your own.
Yeah.
Bag, and it makes sense, you know. But this little it's depend on education. So and more and more people understand. Yeah. We trash all our nature with plastic. Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's killing us.
Yeah.
It's not nice to see. And also the effect of the pollution.
Yeah.
But the worst is like in the ocean.
Yeah.
Okay, ocean we can clean. Earth, well, in the land, easier. But in the ocean, it's hard to clean it.
Yeah.
More space. But
yeah.
But especially when it's rainy season, like now, more and more you can see.
Oh yeah, rainy season, I guess it washes down from the villages.
Village to the river and then end up in the ocean.
Well, so what's the solution? How can people be stopped from throwing plastic trash?
Yeah, education.
Yeah, education.
Education. School kids. From Banjar, from the government. But you know, if you are cleaning and then no solution for what you call it, to collect this plastic, then the solution, like, you know, okay, we collect and then you put it in the dump, so that's it.
Yeah.
It's gonna be not rotting anyway, so it's gonna be there.
Yeah.
So we have to make solution there.
Well, also, they don't separate it.
Yeah.
They mix it with the organic waste, which makes it very hard to deal with in the future.
Exactly. Separating between plastic, paper. But we do.
Yeah, I do. You do here.
I do. Separate it first.
You know, it's one thing it seems to me is trash pickup should be free. It doesn't have to be free for me or for foreigners or for maybe according to income. But, you know, you go to a village, they want a small amount of money to pick up the trash.
Well, here I pay 30,000 every month.
How much?
30,000.
30, yeah, yeah.
That's time how many people's on the village. They bring a pickup truck and then they collect all the trash.
Yeah.
So we pay 30,000 every month.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you can afford it. I can afford it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know a lot of people, I mean, because I hear, I always ask this question. And there's places in Lombang, and I go, I say, why don't you tell it's a retreat? It's a Bali Usada retreat in Tabanan. And so I ask, you know, the Indonesian guy, the Balinese guy who's like in charge, why don't you tell the people in the village, help them stop putting plastic trash in the creek? He says, they think of us as city people. They don't want us to tell them what to do.
Yeah. They got offensive.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's sensitive.
Yeah.
Well, telling people what to do.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, you have to be through education and through step by step.
Yeah. Well, I think I can see movement in that direction from the way people's awareness, what I see in restaurants, what I see when I go away from tourist areas, there seems to be increased awareness, and what I hear from the government and the governor here, you know. What about climate change? What do you think about that?
Well, change. We all change. The climate change. We human beings change.
Would you think there's any different type of climate change happening now? Have you noticed anything in your life?
Well, the climate change of the ocean, yes. The weather, yes. The ocean is getting higher and higher than the land.
There's one. Have you noticed any change in the temperature?
Temperature? Not that much, actually.
Yeah.
Not that very much.
What about rainfall?
Rainfall, from last year, this year is more water, more.
Yeah, but that, you know, but over the course of your life, how old are you?
I'm 41.
41. Over the course of your life, have you noticed a change in the rain patterns or anything?
Well, it's changing, you know. Sometimes this year is like many water, but last year is not much.
Yeah, but I don't mean like that. I mean a big, like over the course of four decades. Yeah, year to year, always you get fluctuation.
But I don't know.
What about wind?
Wind? Normal wind.
So mainly what you notice is the ocean height.
Yeah.
You know, with climate change, the most extreme change is at the poles.
What is that? The poles.
At the poles. Yeah. Very extreme change. Mm. Big, like 40 degrees hotter than usual and stuff. So climate change is supposed to move toward the center. So we'll see. Okay. Well, do you have anything else to say about Bali culture, your life here?
I'm okay.
Yeah, well, you got a great place.
Thank you.
It's really nice to be here. And for them, this is our, fifth time here. And Katrinka's come here when I haven't.
Yeah.
So, hey, thanks a lot, Lempak.
Sama-sama.
Yeah.
Yeah. Terima kasih.
Ya, sama-sama. Suksma.
Mewali.
So, that's Lempak. Lempak Wayan. Yeah, sometimes you meet people here that don't use the name the formal Balinese name is like Wayan. And they'll have another name. And then when I ask them, what's their full name? They'll start off with something like Wayan. So I asked him some other questions. I asked him, how long had they been here? And with, you know, having guests, he said 22 years. And, I was talking to him about how good his English is, how natural. I mean, Tanya speaks, I did a podcast with her. She speaks like, she sounds like she's from California or something. But she's Indonesian. So, you'd think him growing up in this village. If I tell people in Balinese that I'm going to Buitan, they don't necessarily know where it is. I just say it's near Chandi Datsa. It's before Chandi Datsa going from Denpasar. So how come your English is so good? He said, well, he had originally studied and worked in the tourist area. And I said, well, did you and Tanya speak English? I mean, he said, yeah, we speak English and Indonesian. And he's been dealing with tourists for 22 years. He's talking to a friend now. And so I said, what type of tourist do you get? Mainly. And I said, Australians, because there's tons of Australians come to Bali. He said, no, not many Australians. He said, unless they're backpackers. Yeah, this is the sort of place that backpackers like to come to. It's really funky and cool. Sometimes lacking in certain amenities, not everything will work well or whatever, but it's very cool. And they've got a stone, a clay. They've got a clay kiln over there, but it's for making bread mainly, I think. I don't think they make pottery with it. It's not a kiln then. I don't know, a clay oven. Wow, there's people showing up here. Huh. So he said, yeah, not many Australians. He said, many Europeans. Well, but Tanya speaks, Dutch, German, French, Italian. I mean, I don't know what. I've heard her speaking to different people. And that's, I do meet Europeans coming here. So anyway, it's really good coming here and seeing them again. And today is their son Jody's 21st birthday. So there's something going to happen here. And I'm hoping to have a talk with her father, but we'll see. It's always a little chaotic around here, so you never know. Okay. I think there's a birthday party coming up. All right. Bye-bye. This has been a Cuke Audio podcast. I'm DC Puba of Cuke Audio with Doggett Bandita, but not with Feline Cuchita. Bandita came here with us, and she's hanging out. She likes it. She's a little freaked out, because it's different, but it's sort of fun. She likes to stare at the rabbit. She hadn't done that today. And Feline Cuchita is not here, but dear lovely Katrinka is. And we're wishing you and yours and all of us a grand awakening. Why are you talking about your friends?